episode 2, and there's so much to talk about. Better get going. Hey, Lindsay here. Welcome to Thundercast, your monthly fix of everything Manchester Thunder. Well, since the last time we spoke, a lot has happened in the netball world. The Super League transfer window has opened, England Roses are training away, and there's a possible light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to us all getting back to competitive games. Hooray! I am delighted to say that joining me to dissect these developments are Thunder's very own on-court leadership team. Captain Emma Dovey, Vice-Captain Laura Malcolm and Co-Vice-Captain Catherine Turner will be dropping by for an exclusive interview later on too. Welcome to Thundercast, ladies.
Hiya!
welcome along, which this time is sponsored by Netball UK, your one-stop shop for everything netball, with amazing prices, expert advice and, of course, our exclusive Manchester Thunder merchandise. Thank you very much indeed to them for sponsoring us. I think I actually got my trainers from there. It's a good shop.
All my trainers are from there.
I don't think we're allowed to shop anywhere else.
It would be wrong, wouldn't it? It would be wrong. Emma and Laura, first thing to say to you both is, where are you both in the world? Because I think you're in quite different places. Laura, let's start with you.
I mean, I'm just in my living room, so that's not that exciting, if I'm totally honest.
Are you in Manchester then?
Yeah, I'm in Manchester. I've just come home from Loughborough, from the England camp. So, but I'm just at the minute in Manchester in my living room.
And Emma, I think you're a little bit further away, aren't you?
I found the only place you don't have to quarantine to come back. So I'm currently in Turkey at the minute on holiday.
Oh, I've got to say, I can see you both on Zoom. And Laura, you're wearing quite a big jumper, keeping warm because it is throwing it down outside. And Emma, you're wearing a strappy vest top. You're looking super tanned. I think I'd rather be where you are.
Yeah, it's 35 degrees at 9 a.m. here, so I can't say I'm jealous of you back home.
It's absolutely great to have you both here. Now, as I mentioned last time, if you're a Thunder member, you can send us your questions for the show. And shout out to Natalie Dawson, who did just that. And she wants to know from both of you, you've both been part of three grand final winning squads in 2012, 2014 and 2019 for Thunder. Which meant the most to you? And why? Oh, what a great question. Laura, I can see you smiling away. Which one meant the most?
I just think it's easy. It's just the first one. 2012 was just so special because it just was, we were completely the underdogs. It wasn't expected. It never happened before. I just got to enjoy it with Emma, and I'll never forget the time where we were on that line and we realised that we actually won it because it was such a close game. So that was just incredibly special because we really didn't know going into that season what we could do. So it was just kind of like a bit of a fairy tale, to be honest with you.
What about you, Emma?
Yeah, I would completely agree. I think before that season, we'd kind of been very near the bottom of the Super League for the previous kind of three or four seasons. And that season, we just went into every game wanting to enjoy it. I don't think we realised the capabilities we had in the squad. And when we got to that final, like Laura said, with about 30 seconds left, we looked over to each other and was like, oh my God, we've won. I'll just never, ever forget that game.
It was like a turning point, wasn't it, really? Because from there, that just like set a different mindset for the franchise, really. So it was a really special moment, I think.
What about 2019, though? Because you were behind. I've got to tell you both, you know, it wasn't calming to watch that final as a fan. It was quite hard.
It wasn't calming to play in that final either, especially when you throw a ball away in the last few minutes.
Yeah, it wasn't an easy win, but it was an earned win. And I think Thunder, they'd sort of worked, you worked your way back up to that strength, and it felt like you were in a really good place at the beginning of that final, and then it was just an absolute roller coaster.
Yeah, it was. And I think, you know what, we just love a bit of drama, we do, because I'm just thinking every final that we have been in, it's been like controversial and a bit exciting. So why would we just go out and win it? It had to be something different. And it was a roller coaster for everybody involved.
Why would you? Now, we've got an awful lot to talk about on this podcast. And one of the themes that we've got is leadership, because you're both part of the on-court leadership team. Now, as leaders, how do you motivate the team both on-court and off-court? Because obviously 2020 has been a pretty individual year. Are you still connected with the team? How do you keep those links going when you're not even on court?
Emma?
So throughout lockdown, obviously we tried to connect and communicate as much as we possibly could. Obviously we couldn't kind of meet up or see each other, but obviously we've got our hundreds of WhatsApp groups that we have, and myself, Laura and Catherine also decided to do some kind of little games and team activities to earn points, just to kind of stay connected throughout that lockdown period. So it was just a little bit of fun, but it just was trying to keep that team morale in case the season did continue on, which obviously unfortunately didn't. But hopefully next season we'll just pick up exactly where we left off. And like I said, we're always communicating in our WhatsApp groups anyway, and a lot of Thunder stays the same each year, so the core people will still be there next year. So yeah, it's I think it's quite easy in that respect.
And Laura, how do you keep up your fitness in this time? Because it is quite easy to step away. You're at home. You don't have that motivation, those training sessions to go to. How easy is that?
I've found the opposite, to be honest with you. I feel like I've been incredibly motivated for fitness during lockdown. I think for a lot of people, it's kind of the only thing we've had. And it's actually been amazing how much things a netball community have put on. There's just every single day there's been something on Instagram or YouTube or wherever where someone from the netball world has been putting something on that is motivating. And even if it doesn't motivate you on the day, just makes you feel like you want to get out and do something for yourself. So I actually think it's been incredibly motivating over lockdown, and it's just been amazing to see what the netball community has been doing.
Well, that's really good to hear. And obviously you've had your England camp as well. We are going to come back to you about that as well. In terms of your leadership moments, have either of you got a standout moment, you know, maybe something you've said in a huddle at one point, or when you were down in the game, when you were up in a game? Because it is different being a captain or a vice captain. Is there anything in your careers that really stands out for you?
I don't remember what happens during the game, to be honest. After the game, I have no idea what I've done or said within that game. So I'm going to say no for me.
Yeah, I'm the same. I think you're kind of just very much in the moment with what you're saying and what you're doing. And for me, whether you're in a leadership role or not, I just don't really think I changed.
What about if you're behind and you've got a chance to say something in that huddle? Give me some backstage gossip. What kind of things do you say in those huddles? Because I quite like it on the Australian netball when they get the mic in there. You know, what are you saying?
To be fair, I just think, I know it sounds ridiculous, but a lot of the time we like to say funny stuff that just kind of takes the edge off things. Like, I think probably in most teams that I've been in, when it's really tense and when the game's getting close, yeah, you say something that brings everybody together and focuses everybody in on the main goal. But it's a lot of the time you're saying that one line that kind of just lightens the mood and just gets everybody to just take that breath and relax.
There's nothing worse, especially in a close game, than going on in the next quarter knowing that you have to turn over ball or you have to do something and you're nervous about it. Because then you're just, like I said, nervous on the ball and you don't give ball. So like Laura said, if you just crack a bit of a joke, just relaxes everyone and you just go out and play and enjoy it. And that's when we find that we play our best netball.
That's amazing, because if you're down, there must be, you know, an inclination to sort of say, right, come on. And maybe that builds more tension. I think my club do that. We all sort of say, oh, we're down, you know, we've got to pull this back. And actually, it sounds like you're really chilled. How do you do that?
That's kind of our thing, especially in the final last year, being down by I don't even know how many goals in the third quarter. It's not unusual for us. We know we can come back from that. So it's not like it's a massive mountain to climb. We've done it before, so we know we can do it. So it's just confidence, I think.
And whilst I've got you both, I really want the nitty gritty. If your opponent is playing, you know, really well, and you think they're sort of on their game and they're really at it, do you have any good tips to undermine that and to bring it back to you?
I'm not going to say on it because he might be listening.
I want to know how you put them off their game. That's what I want to know.
Well, the best thing about Thunder is we know how to do our own job, but we also know how to back each other up. So if someone's struggling, there'll be something that we can say to each other where we can help each other out. So, you know, you never go into a game having one idea of what you're going to do to an opponent. If somebody's good at something, you've got a plan A, a plan B and a plan C that you're going to throw against them. So that's what we do.
Thank you very much, Laura, for your honesty there. I like it. Emma's like keeping the cards close to her chest. Let's talk about netball news, because from the 18th of August, netball got the green light from the government for a modified training. So up to 30 people could play on court. Then from the 26th of September, and that date's really important, a modified version of leagues and competition netball can return. Hooray! So depending on where you are and depending on local lockdowns, teams can play from the end of September with modifications to the game. And largely that's about making a bigger distance, essentially, isn't it, girls? You know, it's about moving from 3 feet to 4 feet, certainly at the start of play in terms of marking a goal or if you're taking a penalty. We're also going to get rid of the toss-up and idle interactions. That one really made me smile. So we're going to get rid of sort of points of the game where you're next to someone for longer than 3 seconds. Also, when you're facing them, netball, obviously, it's a hand-eye coordination sport. So it's difficult in terms of COVID. How do you both feel about leading the team once again with these new modifications in place? Emma?
The new rules aren't in place for Super League, they're only in place for local leagues, so we are going to continue on playing netball with normal rules as obviously pre-COVID. So for us, nothing will change, apart from obviously adaptations to training. But personally, although I don't really like the new rules, particularly the 4 feet at the start of play, because I think it interrupts the centre pass if you're trying to defend a centre pass, I think for people to just get back playing, and I think getting back into that team environment and socialising with friends and things, it's going to be massive for a lot of people, because I know a lot of people who do play at local leagues that are really, really missing it, and it is affecting them mentally. So although I'm not a massive fan of the new rules, I do think any version of netball is better than no netball.
Yeah, now, Laura, obviously you're back training with the England setup. How do you think that Super League clubs and England are getting on at the moment? Because obviously England have got the Rise Again campaign. We've also seen that Mavericks, Gary Young got in touch and said Mavericks had set up a GoFundMe page with the hashtag Save Our Club. Are clubs really struggling at the moment because people haven't been able to go and see them? We've not had the Super League this season. How's it going?
Well, you know, without being a franchise director, I couldn't tell you exactly how it's going, but it's obvious that it's going to affect people financially. It's affecting the whole world financially, and netball's not going to be any different to that. So, you know, I think a lot of teams are going to be looking at ways where they can bring in extra money, and, you know, it's going to be a real challenge for netball, as it will for every business. Yeah, I guess it's just facing the same struggles that everybody's facing.
Emma, I did read your note when Super League stopped for the season. How difficult was that to write to all the members, to the fans?
Yeah, it was really, really difficult. Although it's obviously devastating for us as players, it is for fans as well, because they're the ones that come week in, week out to watch netball. Netball is their life as much as it is ours. So it was really, really difficult. But obviously it wasn't a decision that was taken lightly by the league.
Well, look, fingers crossed, England Netball have announced that the Super League will be back in February next year. So we've literally got everything crossed. It's interesting to know that you don't have to play with those modifications either. You don't have to play with those rules. OK, let's have a think then about the England Roses. What is going on with training, Laura? Because I'm going to be honest, I've been watching you on Instagram and it just looks like quite a lot of fun.
Well, it is fun because we're finally getting to do something. So it's definitely fun. I've really got to give them credit in terms of looking after our player welfare, as in the build has been slow coming back, and I almost feel like a caged animal at the minute. I just want to get going. I just want to be allowed to play. But we've really had to follow all the processes, playing without defenders, building it back up. And, you know, we've finally finished this block of 4 weeks where we've got to have defenders. But within that, I guess we've had to start reconnecting with our culture and each other as a team, and to do that, you've got to do some fun stuff. So we've just been doing random things that have been quite fun, but also help with our culture and help with our team bonding.
So what kind of things do you bring back from the England experience into Thunder?
Well, obviously, we've gone through the whole, not pathway, but we've been following the whole process. So we know what the girls are in for, because I believe that Super League teams will be following, they have the guidance from England Netball, and I believe they'll be following the same process as the elite pathway. So I guess it's just nice to know and to give the girls a heads up and kind of link back in when we're all at the same kind of point of what it's going to be and what's normal. And even just when we first started going back in, it was just weird landing with the ball and we were just a bit all over the place. And it's quite, I guess, knowing those things, it's quite nice to pass that on and make sure that the girls are not feeling like they're just unfit. It's actually just normal and you are going to feel a bit all over the place and things like that. So yeah, hopefully just kind of that knowledge of going through what they're going to be going through will be a help to those girls.
Have they given you any indication of when you'll next play a match? Because obviously all the internationals have sort of gone out the window.
Yeah, well, you know, everything's, they're still trying to get stuff. I don't know when things are going to get confirmed. If they get confirmed, obviously everything is just depending on the situation that's going on in the world. So at the minute, what's really great for us is that we can get back on court and start training and getting ourselves back up to speed. So whatever happens, we're starting to get ourselves in a really good place, and that's what's most important.
Well, look, let's talk about something that we do know that is happening for certain, and that's that the transfer window has opened for next year's Super League season. It's open from the 17th of August to the 30th of October, and teams can sign 10 registered players and 5 training partners. Now, I want to get all the inside goss here. Do either of you know what is going on with Thunder? And if you do, are you allowed to tell me? Please, please.
No.
Thought it might be a no.
It's been announced that Catherine is obviously having a baby, so that's one that's unfortunate will be leaving us this time. So obviously there will be a little bit of change in Thunder, but what that looks like, we don't know.
Okay. Have you both signed up? Am I allowed to ask that question?
I mean, I was on a 2-year contract, and that's, everybody knew that anyway, so yes. I'm there.
I guess because I'm doing this podcast right now, it might be a little bit of a hint.
Well, we certainly hope so. Speaking to the captain and the vice captain, that would be really good news for us. Now, I know you two girls can't say too much on this at the moment, but I'm really excited to reveal right here on Thundercast that 2 new players will be joining the squad, and they are Berry Neal and Lois Pearson. Now, they were both training partners last season and have won promotion to the first team. So Thunder really looking to strengthen their attacking and goal scoring performance, and also really rewarding talent coming through the Thunder pathway. What do you think, Laura?
There's just loads of talent at Thunder. I mean, obviously we get to see a lot of players at training because we have training partners, we have under 21s that come up and play against us and train against us, and they're all really good players. And if players come through, I'm pretty confident that they're going to smash it. So yeah,
the pathway at Thunder is absolutely amazing. So it is great to see when people come through the pathway and then do make it onto the Super League. It is absolutely amazing. So hopefully this year we will be able to just showcase some of that younger talent as well.
And what about Leeds Rhinos then? They're joining the Super League for 2021. Do we know anything about their team? What do you know about the setup there? Because that is, you know, new contenders.
I mean, it's hard enough finding out who's in our own team, let alone others. So I haven't got anything for you. I know that Dan Ryan's the coach, and that's about it.
That, you know, we know that it's so hard, isn't it? It's so hard. I've been trawling away on the internet to see if I can get any info out there, but there just isn't. We'll just have to wait a little bit longer, but we'll bring you the very latest as and when right here on Thundercast. Now, it's time to introduce our third on-court leader to the pod. I spoke to Thunder's legendary goal attack and vice-captain Catherine Turner about her recent big news. Hi, Catherine. Hello.
Hi, Lindsay.
Hi. First of all, huge congratulations to you and Tom. The Thunder family is extending. You're expecting your first baby next year. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. We're really excited. I think it's something we've wanted for quite a while now. So yeah, we're really excited. Can't wait.
Have you been feeling okay so far?
Feeling good. Like the first few weeks or so, I was a little bit sick and all that kind of stuff. But now that I'm kind of moving into the second trimester, I'm feeling a lot better about myself and able to kind of get on with a few more things than I was previously. So I'm starting to do a little bit of exercise and stuff like that. So yeah, definitely feeling a lot better now.
Is that a bit of netball or are you doing other things?
Yeah, well, I'm trying to like mix it up a little bit. So bits of netball outside. Like I've got my my posts in the back garden. So I'm still trying to do a few shots every now and again, just to keep my eye in. And then just kind of some like light walks and light exercise and stuff like that.
Well, very, very good. It must be slightly strange for you because you've been playing for Thunder since you were a teenager. When did you know that you were really good at netball? Was there a moment that you suddenly thought, actually, I can go a long way with this?
I can't really remember, to be honest. I've just been playing for so long now. But I suppose like when I started back in primary school and I started going to like after school clubs, I kind of felt like that was a lot better than all the people around me. And then I started going to my first netball club, which was Capricorn, with my sister, and I was actually better than her at that point as well. So yeah, probably right from the start I did think, oh, maybe I am quite good at this, and kind of from there I got onto all like the pathways which led me into England and bits and pieces like that. So yeah, I'd say like quite early on I think I felt like I was pretty good.
And you played your first senior game for Thunder when you were 15, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
How did that feel? Because that's a huge thing to take in and then to deliver on court as well. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, it's all a bit of a blur now thinking back. It was quite a scary situation, really, because I remember stepping out on court for the first time. I think it might have been against Bath and it was on TV as well. So, like, it was really high-pressure situation. But I had the backing of the team behind me and the coach, Mike, at the time. So that gave me a lot of confidence to kind of just go on there and do what I knew I could do.
We've announced on Thundercast that the squad next year will have two new players, Berry Neal and Lois Pearson, who are coming through the pathway. Mm-hmm. What would you say to them? Because obviously you're a vice captain, you're in a great position to pass on some of your experience.
Yeah, I'd just say kind of just keep doing what they're doing. Like they've had a couple of years now with us at Thunder and they've kind of got to know the team as well and kind of all our systems and how we work. So it's just to kind of keep working hard like they have been. And when they get that opportunity to go onto court, just to show everyone that what they are capable of.
This is a really big question, this next one for me, Catherine, because I think it, certainly in terms of minority sports, women's sports, is there a good way to balance netball and work-life balance? Because let's be honest, in the UK at the moment, there isn't a huge amount of money in it. Is it a viable career? How do you balance what you do?
Yeah, it's something I've always found quite important to me, really, that I did have a kind of career at the side of netball, because I always knew for me it wasn't going to be a career path. Or like you said, the money's not really there. So I think planning and organising has been really key throughout my time, really, like when I was at uni and then getting my first job. So yeah, I'd say like probably the biggest piece of advice is just to make sure that you're really organized and you've kind of got like a calendar so you can put everything that you're going to be up to in there and you can keep track of, you know, where you are. And also to like communicate with people around you, and that's really important. So like speaking to your netball coaches or your managers at work, for example, and just making them aware of what you've got going on, like inside and outside of them, so that they're fully aware of everything and they can help you through that as well.
Do you think there's a right time to take a break from sport to start a family? Because that is a really big decision for a woman.
Yeah, it is a really big decision, but I don't really think there's a kind of right or wrong time, really. It just depends on individual circumstances. I think for me, like, I wanted to kind of be in a good position with my career as well before I kind of started a family. So yeah, I just say it just varies from person to person, really. But certainly now in netball, there is a lot more support out there. So for people who do kind of want to start a family or thinking about it, there is that support network there at netball as well now. So if you did want to start a family and then come back to netball, there's definitely that support there for them.
What drove that decision for you then? Was it just feeling that you were in the right place with work, with Thunder, it was the right time for you?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And I've been with my husband, Tom, now for quite a long time. Like, we met in high school, so we're childhood sweethearts, which is nice.
Lovely.
So, yeah, like, kids has always been on the cards for us. And we have, like, kind of delayed it for, like, a short amount of time, just kind of getting to the right position in netball and in my career and stuff. But, yeah, it just kind of felt like the timing was right.
What's it like watching from the sidelines? I'm just thinking for next year, Catherine, how's it going to be when you can't play?
Oh, I know. It's going to be so strange because I've been really lucky as a player, actually, like, touch wood. I've not had any injuries up to now. So it is going to be really strange watching from the sideline, but I'll still enjoy it. I'll still enjoy being around the atmosphere of the Thunderdome and, you know, getting to see my friends as well and watch them on court. I think it'll still be really good.
Oh, no doubt you'll be there shouting the loudest. I don't doubt it at all. I've got a little quick fire round for you now, if that's all right. It's called 3 seconds or less, which I'm sure that you'll be able to do. You'll be able to smash this. So just say whatever comes into your head. I'm going to start with a question that I asked your captain and your co-vice captain as well, which was, out of the wins that you've had with Thunder, which one was the best?
It's got to be the Wasp final last year.
Who is the best partner you've had in the circle?
Janelle Lawson.
Nice. Who's the noisiest Thunder player on court?
Malx is pretty loud.
Yeah, she's chatty. Who's your role model?
I've got a few, to be honest. I'd probably say Nat Medhurst from Australia.
Oh, that's a great pick. Who is your nemesis player in the Super League, be honest?
I never enjoy playing against Ebony. She's always a tough opponent, so I'd say Ebony.
You and her will have a lot to chat about at the moment. Do you have a nickname?
Katie,
I see. Okay, yeah, that's good. That's good. What's the worst part of training?
Oh, fitness, definitely.
All the fitness. And what's the best thing about playing for Thunder?
The fact that we're like a family and we all just get on, we have a laugh, we enjoy it, we crack on and we win, so.
Absolutely. And the biggie, the big question, will you be back?
We'll see.
Oh, that's a big answer. Well, I'm really glad for you. I'm so excited to see whether you're going to, I'm sure you are going to have another either netball fan or netball player.
Probably, we'll see. She'll definitely be very sporty anyway.
Thank you so much for speaking to me on Thundercast and really best of luck for the next few months. It's going to be brilliant and we look forward to seeing what happens to you next.
Thanks, Lindsay.
So there you go. It's great to hear from Catherine. Really exciting news for her as well. What's she like as a player on court?
Yeah, she's like that steady, reliable player, really. The thing with Catherine, okay, this is really random, but her passing is so good and she really annoys me when I do passing work with her because I can't catch the ball and pass it as quick as she can. Do you know what I mean? You know those quick in and outs, Emma? She's like ridiculously weirdly good at chest passing.
But she doesn't even look like she's trying. She just like...
No. Everything Catherine does, she makes look effortless.
She's just so serene on court, isn't she? Yeah. Her face doesn't give away anything. She looks super chilled. Will it be difficult to replace her next season?
I think, like, with Thunder, it's like when Kerry retired, everyone's like, oh, how are you going to replace Kerry? And you're not going to replace Kerry. You're not going to replace Catherine. But there will definitely be somebody who is willing to put the best foot forward and give it the best shot.
It's really lovely to hear you both talking about it. Right, let's move on to Coaching Corner. This is the part of the show where I ask you if you've got a training tip that you can pass on to all of our listeners. So whether it's to do with what you were talking about, Laura, in terms of keeping your fitness up during this time, you've seen people are really engaged with that. Is the one thing that you could do at home, maybe in your local park, to boost your fitness, maybe your endurance as well?
For me, I just think there's nothing like netball fitness. So you can run, you can go to the gym, you can do whatever you want, but there's nothing quite like netball fitness. So just trying to get as much netball specific stuff into your training as physically possible, particularly during this time where you're not on court quite as much. Yeah, just doing as much netball specific movements as possible.
What about you, Laura? Because I've seen a lot of your stuff online. You've been really engaged with this.
Yeah, I just think the best thing about fitness is to try and mix it up as much as possible, because it just gets boring, doesn't it? Everyone's always telling me I love fitness. I don't love fitness. Nobody loves fitness. It feels horrible. But if you mix it up, it's just about tolerable. Is that a word?
That is a word.
Yeah. So I think there's so much stuff going on Instagram, on YouTube. I just think take this opportunity to soak it in whilst it's all coming out and mix up your training as much as possible.
Wicked. Thank you both very much. And so we reach the final whistle. This is the part of the show where we talk about one final issue, an idea or a theme. And again, our members can suggest these. So do send them in to me. This one has been sent by Sophie Morgan, and she's right on point here. I've been thinking a lot about this. She says, on her retirement from international netball, the only question can be, which of you loves Laura Langman most? And I think that person is me. I love Laura Langman. I can't believe it. She's 34 years old. She's the most capped player that New Zealand have ever had. She's played 163 tests. The first 141 of those were without missing a game for the Silver Fern. She's won two Commonwealth gold medals, one ANZ championship, one Super Netball title. And to top it off, she captained the Silver Ferns to the Netball World Cup gold medal in 2019. You know, that's my fan rave.
Yeah, what a gal.
What a gal. What are your thoughts on Laura Langman?
Unbelievable athlete. And you know what? The best thing about Laura Langman, and you do hear stories about people in the netball world. Obviously, I've had opportunities to play against her on court, and she was, you could tell what an athlete she was playing against her. But the best thing about Laura Langman is there's not one negative word I've ever heard about her. There's just so many positive stories, so much respect from every single athlete that has ever worked with her and coach. And you just know that that's just an incredible person. So obviously it'll be sad that the netball, the international netball world will be saying goodbye to her, but she's had an incredible career, and sounds like and is an incredible person as well.
Absolutely. The big question though is she the GOAT? Is she the greatest player of all time? What do you think, Emma?
She's a contender.
She's no Kerry Alman, let's be honest.
Yes. Amazing. Did Kerry pay you to say that? That's wonderful.
No, she didn't. It's just true.
It is true. You're absolutely right. Who else would you put up there apart from Kerry Almond?
Oh, gosh.
I'd say Jeeva.
Yeah, definitely. It's these players that end up having these incredible careers and just seem to get better.
Well, look, you're both in there for me as well. Of course. It's important to celebrate what Laura Langman has achieved. What an absolutely iconic netball player. And it was wonderful to get that question in. I'm sure that you'll get in touch with your thoughts and your suggestions as well. I'm Lindsay_Chapman on Twitter and Lindsay Chapman Presenter on Instagram. Also, if you use the hashtag Thundercast or at ThunderNetball, we will find your thoughts and your questions. Please do send them in. Emma and Laura, that time has absolutely whizzed by. Thank you so much for having a chat with me tonight.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Taking a break from your holiday and chilling out a little bit after training with England. It's lovely to see you both. Fingers crossed, we'll all be back on court end of September in terms of community leagues, and you guys will be able to get on with your training as well. Really lovely to speak to you. This episode of Thundercast was sponsored by Netball UK with amazing prices and expert advice. It's your one-stop shop for everything netball. Head to netballuk.co.uk right now. But from us, from all three of us, we'll say bye. Catch you next time.
Bye.